I'd like to thank God for this morning for us. Thank you, Andy, for leading us in songs and everyone else who have been participating, including you. That song, I love this song because my oldest daughter had moved on out of the house, I think, and then my three youngest daughters, they used to sing this song together. And they sound so cute. They sound so cute so much that I would get them to sing it all the time. You know how those parents, how they make the kids sing in front of people. And I was like, sing the song, sing the song. Daddy, no. I want to do something else. But I love that song. And I'm going to have them come up singing now. I was joking. Because they were like. We are again blessed again to be here and to worship God in spirit and in truth together. As a family, like I said, I love when all those who will attack this pulpit and speak from it, I love how we get up and we say, good morning, family. I love that because that's one thing we're pushing here at Airport is family and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we like that, family, we want to be a strong family for God so we could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And that's a blessing to be able to do that. We are asking you to remember Sunday school. Come to Sunday school, and especially you parents. Again, I said this before. My daughters, when they played a certain sport at a young age, they didn't keep score because it wasn't about winning wins and losses. It was just simply about getting them familiar with the game. The same thing is about with church. When we come to Sunday school, you're getting your children familiar with church. And once your children get familiar with church, then you don't have to beg and them to come when they're adults because it's part of the system. And that's what we want to do. We make it part of their system to where then they're able to stand on the foundation that was given to them. Then they could develop their own relationship with God. And so this Sunday school is something that will help in development of this. So if you have children junior high, from high school on down, please bring them. And if you would like to be an example, come yourself. So we want you to do that. We're going to bow, and then we'll get into the sermon. Let us bow. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for blessing us and keeping us. Lord, we know that those who are going through hardships and heartaches, we know that they are struggling. We ask you to be with them. Watch over us at this time of year where a lot of people seem to recognize loss and pain. Although it's a time of singing and rejoicing, there are a lot of people who are hurting. We ask you to be with them and remember them. It's in Jesus' name we ask these blessings, your son and my loving Savior. Amen. We are about ready to close out a series in the first book of John, in the fifth chapter. And we've been going through this book, and we look at the overall theme of this book deals basically with who Jesus Christ is and what we have in him. And the manifestations of our love for him should manifest itself in the love for the body of Christ, for the church. Here today, we're going to look at John's words about God's viewpoint of his son, his witness of his son. And I have entitled the sermon, Can I Get a Witness? Can I Get a Witness? We're coming from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. Keith, if you could read verse 9 for me.
We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son.
God has given a testimony about his son. Can I get a witness? He has given his testimony of his son, God's testimony of his son. If you could turn for me Hebrews, the first chapter, we're going to start at verse 8. This is one of the most powerful testimonies that we read about Jesus from God. If we start at verse 8 in Hebrews chapter 1, it reads,
But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever.
Now, this is God speaking to Jesus. He said what again?
Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever.
Keep going.
A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness.
Yes.
Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.
Now, therefore, God, your God. Keep going.
He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth.
In the beginning, Lord, this is God speaking. In the beginning, Lord, you have laid the foundation.
And the heavens are the work of your hand.
And the heavens are the work of your hand. Now, if you go back to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 1, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, the word in Hebrew is Elohim, and it's a Hebrew, it's a plural word for God. And we know now that is, in study, Father, Son, and Spirit. God said of Jesus, testifying of Jesus. And remember what John is trying to let us know. It is in Jesus you have God. You remember what you have in Colossians 2, verse 9. The Bible says, in him, talking about Jesus Christ, you have the fullness of the Godhead body, or the Godhead in bodily form. In other words, in him, Jesus Christ, you have Father and Spirit. So Jesus even said in John 14, when you've seen me, who have you seen? You've seen the Father. So God has testified of the Son. In Matthew 3, if you could, Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry I didn't give you these scriptures earlier, Keith. He's thumbing through his phone. Matthew 3, 16 and 17, what does it say?
As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.
There you go. God, again, testifying of the Son. Why is that important, John? Because in this time, a lot of people have infiltrated the truth of the gospel and declaimed Jesus, or dethroned Jesus, as God in the flesh. John, you remember in John, the first chapter in his gospel, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, thank you, preacher. Woo, keep preaching, preacher. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with him, and nothing was created without him. So, you know, John is, what you doing, John? John is saying, can I get a witness? Jesus even testifies of himself in John 8, 58. You don't have to go there, Keith. In John 8, 58, Jesus is talking to these Jews, and they said to him, they said, he said, your father Abraham looked to my day. And they said, you're not even 30 years old. How is this little boy going to talk about Abraham? Then Jesus had to speak out of his human body and speak in divine words. He said, before Abraham was, come on, y'all, before Abraham was, there you go. In Exodus chapter 3, you remember when God came to Moses, Moses said, who shall I tell him? Who shall I tell him sent me? You tell him I am. God was basically saying, I am what I want to be. Right now, I'm a messenger. Go tell them that I said, let my people go. And they're not going to listen. Then I am going to be a warrior. And then I am going to be a defeater. And then I am going to be your God. I am that I am. I can be what I want to be. Jesus said through the book of John, I am the bread of life, the light of the world. What's the John 14? I'm the way, the truth, and the light. I am. Jesus is the only one can make this proclamation. So John is allowing us to know that Jesus Christ is it. And with him, you are lacking nothing. And so he's trying to bring this home. If you could read for me in 1 John 5, go to verse 10.
Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony.
Now, it says, in some version it says, whoever has the, who believes in God, it says in some version, he has given you or put a testimony inside you. He's put a witness inside you. I would like to think that that witness inside us is the Holy Spirit. The Bible even said in Romans that in Romans 8, I believe it is, it says, the Holy Spirit, it testifies of my spirit. That Holy Spirit gives a testimony within me, and it allows me to know that I am Christ's, and allow me to know that Christ is the Son of God, and allow me to know that God is God. There's a testimony. There's a witness that is put inside us. And anyone who believes that, they have the testimony. But if you don't believe it, it says you are a liar. Now, that's just not only talking. We got to understand, at that time, there's a little bit different viewpoint from just, it says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a different perspective back then. There's understanding back then that we don't necessarily have now. Back then, when anyone confessed to Jesus Christ as Son of God, you were. When he said that, you were a child of God. Reason why is because folks didn't just walk around proclaiming Christianity. Why? Because Christians were being killed. Christians were being persecuted. It wasn't popular to be a Christian. You know, the first century church, they had to go through some battles. They had their land taken away, family members separated, thrown in jail, killed. Jesus was put on a cross. And Jesus even said, if they did that to me, what do you think they're going to do to you? So to just for somebody to today, well, people, there's a false notion that in order for you to be saved, all you got to do is say Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, a little bit more than that. Let's dig into the scriptures and keep digging into the scriptures. If that's the point where you are, where you just think, I just need to say Jesus' name, then let's keep reading. I don't want to stop dialogue with you, but let's keep reading so we can get to the depth of what Jesus has to say, because there's a testimony of Jesus, and if that testimony is robbed, then you are robbed of the power of it. Amen? So there's a testimony that is given to us, and the Holy Spirit testifies to us, and it let us know that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Now in verse 11 in John chapter 5, it says what?
And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
That's pretty straightforward. I was listening to my uncle's debates yesterday with him and this Muslim, and not trying to knock down anybody's teaching or religion, but he was debating against a Muslim. And the point is, when Jesus said, no one could get to the Father but by me, he was knocking down all other belief systems. You got to understand that. And that's not to demean anybody, any personal person. We don't attack people, but we have to stand up against false doctrine. We have to. So when we go preach the word, it's nothing personal. It's not that I want to outdo you or make you look bad. Unfortunately, some Christians do go out for that purpose, to win fights. And we turn it in on one another every now and then. But the point is, the power of Jesus is only in him. He doesn't depend on anyone else. He doesn't need anyone else. I remember I told you years ago when I was in California, I was talking to this lady. We was having a religious conversation in my apartment complex. And she says, amen, praise Jesus. I said, amen. She said, I was looking at my horoscope the other day or doing my crystals or something. I said, honey, you don't need that and Jesus. Jesus alone is good enough. You know, some people do. I don't want to raise up no hands. How many do people run by their horoscope? You know, you go through their paper. Oh, wait a minute, before I leave, honey, wait a minute. Oh, honey, we can't go to the store today. It's not good for a Gemini. You know, Geminis, you won't make it to the store today. You know, that stuff right there. You do not need all that other stuff. Jesus is enough. God testifies of him. He is enough for everyone to live by. And we know through him we have eternal life. In John 10, not only eternal life in the sense after death, but in John 10 it says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, we got to understand that eternal life starts now. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, it talks about the Holy Spirit is an earnest payment, a down payment. Y'all know what a down payment is, yeah? Y'all, who put stuff on layaway before? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, y'all. There you go. We put stuff on layaway. Well, you said layaway. I remember my first suit I bought as a man by myself without somebody buying it for. I was in California. I bought it at the mall, the Sherman Oaks Galleria Mall. There was a big old green suit in there. Woo! I wanted to match my eyes. I didn't care what it looked like. I just wanted to put it on. Well, I went in there. I saw that suit. I used to walk by the window all the time, and I said, I'm going to go get some. And I put some money down on it, and guess what they did with the for sale sign? It's gone. Why? Because they considered it sold. Why? Because of my down payment. Well, the down payment that God has given us is the Holy Spirit, and it's telling us you have salvation. You're not still looking for it. You don't have to keep looking for it. We have salvation now because of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit inside me, it testifies saying, Daddy, God, he's yours. This one's yours. So the testimony is that we have Christ. The witness is that we have Christ and that Christ is in us. And in, through him, we have eternal life. But if you don't believe, Keith, yes. Get John 3, verses 16 through 18. Those who don't believe, see, and before you get that, don't get that. In verse 12, it says in 1 John 5, it says that those who believe, they believe to righteousness, but those who don't believe, they believe unto death. They don't believe unto death, rather. But in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, what did Jesus say?
Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Now, that's 1 John 5, 12. Now, get for me John 3, 16.
That was actually John 3, 18, sorry.
No, give me John 3, 16.
For God so loved the world.
Everybody know this one. For God so loved the world.
That he gave his one and only Son.
That he gave his one and only Son. Anthony read a beautiful thing this morning that made, I was back there, I was going, oh, because I've heard that before, but it was digging in me that he did all that. Why would God send Jesus to do all that? And you see what I'm saying? Why would he do all that and tell me that through him I'm saved and I still walk around here worried, nervous, and jittery? Why would I? I'm going to do that later. I'm going to talk about that later. But John 3:16, keep reading.
That whosoever shall believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Keep reading.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world.
He didn't send us to condemn it, but what?
But to save the world through him.
But to save the world through him.
Oh, whoever believes in him is not condemned.
You are not condemned. Who believes in Jesus Christ? Who's been baptized for the remission of your sins? If you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are not condemned. And that's all I get? If you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you are not condemned.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Larry, you just won $10 million.
Groovy.
Whoever believes in Jesus Christ and have been baptized for the remission of sins, you are not condemned. Now, come on, preacher, keep reading.
But
uh-oh.
Whoever does not
whoa,
believe.
Hold up. Y'all know what that but mean. Mama, can we go outside? Yes. But you got to have your room clean. I would do this, but I don't have enough money. I would do this, but I'm scared. I would do this, but I don't have enough. But change everything. He said, if you believe, you're not condemned, but
whoever does not believe
mm-mm.
stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Yo, God is talking about salvation and condemnation. If you believe, you're on the salvation side. If you don't believe, you're on the condemnation side. Any questions? We got to remember that.
Keep go back to John and do verse 13, if you will. I mean, verse 13. John 5:13.
Sorry, it takes a minute. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Ooh.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
Keep it right there, because I'm going to ask you to go back and read some more on that same scripture, if you don't mind. Y'all, he said, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life. Now, without stop and think about it, God is witnessing about us. There's a story in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus sends out his disciples, I believe it's the 72, and they come back and they're excited. They said, we have power over demons. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan fall from the sky like lightning. And they was excited. But then Jesus told them, he said, don't be excited about this. What did he say? He said, be excited because your names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Y'all understand? Listen. If I could come up to a demon and go, boom, and he'd jump out of you and run, what? What's up? I got some stuff going on. But Jesus said, that's not the exciting part. The exciting part is that your name has been recorded in heaven and God knows you. That's more than you can scare a demon. That's more than you can walk on water. That's more than you can heal the sick, raise the dead. The fact that God knows you, that's all. And God is calling you. He says, I know you. I know you. And because I know you, man, when you drop down to your knees. Don't y'all think about the power of God? Listen, I saw this movie. It was called something. It was about a guy, the Jim Carrey movie, he became God. Bruce Almighty. God, you know, he was, you know, upset with God, and then God came to him and said, okay, I'm going to turn my powers over to you. Just a movie, y'all, so calm down. He said, I'm going to turn my powers over to you. So he had this power, and so he was walking around. He had God power and stuff. He was doing all this stuff, abusing it. And then one day he got some,
he was hearing stuff in his ears, and it was prayers, because all prayers go to God. So he starts hearing the prayer, and after a while, he just got overloaded, and he couldn't take it. And then God showed up to him again and said, what's the matter? He said, I can't hear all these things at one time of all the people in the world. He said, no, that wasn't all the people in the world. That was the block from 136 to 135. Y'all, here's the thing. Do you know when I pray? There's over 7 billion people on the face of this earth. There's one other person at least praying to God at the same time I am. Do you know God sat there and he listens to me? Just like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like no one else is talking. Why? Because God has testified of me. God has called me witness. Why? Because my name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And just because of that, that's why I walk. I tell folks, stop trying to live Christian lives because you're trying to get to heaven. Stop trying to get to heaven and live because you are going. Don't come to church because, oh, I got to go to church because of time and I got to be there. You got the wrong information. Because you could stay at home. That's fine. Church still going to go on. It's still going to go on. But man, I tell this all the time. I don't love my wife trying to get love. I love her because, baby, I got it. Yeah, I got it. And so when I treat God the same way, I'm not loving God to try to get him to love me. He already loved me. How do I know? He proved that over 2,000 years ago. Now I tell people, you got to take that stuff personal. When Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross, I think Jesus was thinking about Larry Darnell Nunley. He had me in mind. Why are you going down there? I can see the angels in heaven floating around. I said, why are you going down there? You're going to put on skin, that dirt, and you're going to go down for what? Well, there's a boy named Larry Nunley. He's going to be born October the 26th, 1964, in Madison County Hospital in Huntsville, Alabama, and he's going to need me because he's going to mess up. He's going to do good. He's going to do bad. He's going to do good. He's going to do bad. He's going to think this. He's going to think that. But he needs me. But why are you going? Because I love him. That's it. Now, why, in response to that, would I have the attitude, I got to go. I got to do this. Oh, you mean I gotta give that much money? Well, I gotta sing. We ain't gotta go to church all the time. No, but he still died for you. He still loves you. In spite of all that junk we give him, every day he still says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Because I know you. I know you so good. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know the number of days you would live before you had one. I know you, and I have taken them. I have protected them. I put them in a cushion, and I know no matter what goes on with you, I will be there. Even when you turn your back on me, when you turn back around, I'm still there. That's my God. So why would you come with him with an attitude of, You know, if we did that to a human being, if I did that to my wife as good as she loved me, and y'all heard about that, you know what some of y'all sisters be doing, especially single sisters? Leave them! Leave them and be sorry with me. Leave them! If we treated a human being like that, everybody would justify that woman leaving. But when we do a magnificent God that way, we make excuses. Oh, well, he God, he's supposed to forgive me, right? God is the most taken advantage of one in the universe. But he still witnesses. He said, I know you. I love you. How do we know God? Because long ago I sent my son.
I wrapped him up in flesh and called his name Emmanuel. And I put every sin that will be committed, past and present, on him. And I let him walk around, and I put the task of on him to live a perfect, sinless life in your body. He walked around, and then after that perfect, sinless life, I gave him the task to love you in spite of you. Then I gave him the task to die a horrible death. We read about it this morning. But then I gave him the power to go to sleep just for a little while, only to wake up early one Sunday morning. But on that cross, he said something that's very vital for you and me. Father, forgive them. You know who he's talking about? Again, it's personal. He's talking about me. I wasn't even born yet, and he asked God to forgive me. I'm 55 years old. He asked God to forgive me of the sins that I'm going to commit if I make it to 70. How dare me walk around?
I got to do this.
How dare me? How dare us do that to a magnificent God and just try to give him the little bit as we can and put everything else in front of God and then turn around, oh, we Christians. How dare us? Church, he died for us because he loved us. And he won't stop loving us in spite of us. So if you haven't put Christ on, if you haven't had your sins washed away, we're asking you to come forward. We want you to put them on so he can witness, so he can wash, so he can justify, so he can cleanse. If you please, come forward. If you haven't been baptized, I want you to come forward now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.